Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on March 11th of 2021. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to, once again, as usual, talk about some of the anime we've been watching, some of which airs on Toonami. So, there was no new episode of Attack on Titan this week because of the fact that, well, we went over it before. It's they put on a one-week hiatus. It'll be back this week.
Yep.
All right, so we will move simply into Food Wars, episode 39.
Yeah, so this episode, Alice wants to join the whole festival thing. And while she's trying to, she goes over with Erina, and Soma says, hey, let's try out some of my cooking. So, man, her name. I know her, Hinako, is that her name?
Which character are you talking about?
The pink hair girl.
Pink,
you know,
her assistant.
I forget her name now. I looked it up this week and I forget it already.
Is it Hisako? Or is that a different character?
Wait, here it comes. Here it comes. It is. What a time for slow internet. Yeah, it's Hisako, not Hinako.
Okay.
Pretty close, though. Pretty close. And Hisako says he's going to give Soma 1 hour, which Erina gets mad about because she didn't want to do it at all. So then they get to try his cooking. And what I love about this show is that there's always this thing about Soma can't please Erina no matter how hard he tries. And I think it's entertaining to see whenever he keeps on trying to get her to like his food. And here she's like, it's okay. And she says it needs more ma and la, which that might go over better in the original Japanese than it does in English. It doesn't really make much sense, but so he needs to get some other ingredients, I guess, to make it spicier. And so he is getting ready to do his thing at the festival. And remember, if he doesn't finish in the black, then he's kicked out of school. So it's like you said, whenever you have things like that, it kind of spoils it because you know he's not going to get kicked out of school. So, he is trying to do that. And Alice gets permission from that girl that Monica Rial voices, and I don't remember her name, the professor. And she gets Akira and Rio to both help her out with that, which is a little funny to me because I've seen the rest of the season and what happens. But so now everyone's getting all ready for the festival. It's about to begin. I probably missed something, but Erina's comments in this episode were so funny, especially whenever she said, this guy really has a screw loose, doesn't he? And it was so funny the way she said it. And so that's pretty much the episode.
Don't forget the part where they have the school song and everyone suddenly starts speaking Japanese.
Yeah. Everyone's like, did they just use the original Japanese voices, or did they have the dub actors sing in Japanese?
I'm pretty sure this was the original Japanese voices.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
I'm surprised they didn't just make some. I mean, there's not that many lyrics. It wouldn't have been that hard to come up with something and just have them sing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny, that whole song. And Soma's the only one who didn't know it.
Yeah. So let's see. There was that. There was something else I wanted to say. Yeah. What's weird about the whole thing about saying, oh, if you aren't in the black, you're expelled. And I'm just thinking, why did they need to introduce that? Because we already have stakes here. Soma needs to try to, Soma's goal is to outdo Kuga so that he can make him do a Shokugeki with Soma. And so the question there is, oh, is Soma going to surpass him? But then what's the point of adding this thing, this extra thing in? Because because that's a lower threshold, and it takes it off the more important one, kind narratively. It'd sort of be like, well, let me think here. If a character asked, let's say a character on a test has to do better than some other person who's their rival, because, you know, to prove them, and you're saying, all right, you need to do better than them. Also, if you get a 40% or worse, you're expelled. And you're just left thinking, well, what's the point? You already had incentive for us to care about it. Why did you add that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I wish they wouldn't have added that, because that kind of blows it. But there still is the thing about whether he's going to beat Kuga, because, you know, he could still finish in the black and not beat Kuga. But yeah, I love the episode, as I did pretty much every episode this season. And today I got the Blu-ray in for the fourth plate, so I'll finally get to see that, because I want to see it dubbed. Fifth plate, I'm probably going to have to watch sub, but I liked it.
Okay. Yeah, it was fun. It just was so weird for it to just suddenly go into Japanese there.
I thought that was funny. I did.
I honestly wish they had just had in the dub someone say, why are the lyrics in Japanese? or something like that. Although, I mean, this is in Japan, so I guess we're supposed to take the supposition, oh, well, they're really speaking Japanese. It's just in English for our benefit. Okay, so we had that. Then, after that, we had Fire Force, episode 39, also known as, hey, Evil Kuniko showed up again.
Yeah.
Her name is technically Inka, but screw it, I'm going to call her Evil Kuniko. Unfortunately, Inka.
Inka?
Yeah, oh, Inka. Like the civilization.
Yeah.
I have no idea if that's an actual Japanese name or not, and it just happens to be coincidental. Let me actually check. Well, it's not listed on behindthename.com, but I'm sure they there's a lot of Japanese names they don't have there. So anyway, yeah, she doesn't really do too much, but it is kind of interesting. So what they're trying to do is right now is they find the kid who has the Adola burst, and they're trying to get him out, and they end up fighting against those Hajima is their name. And so they're doing that. And then those other bad guys, whose name I can't remember, but they're the ones who always wear white, and two of them, and two of their strongest fighters always have their eyes covered, which makes you wonder how they see.
Yeah.
But then they show up, and then this big three-way fight essentially starts.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was kind of cool. You don't really see those sort of things that much in anime, now that I think about it. I mean, they had them in World Trigger, of course, but three-way fights like that don't seem very common in...
Let me ask you something. World Trigger, are you talking before or after I started watching? Like,
You mean before we stop? Well, we saw a three-way fight in the episodes just before we put it on hiatus, actually. Okay. But there's that, and then after that, it does focus a lot on the teams versus teams, and there's always three or four teams in each of those matches.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it was fun. The main fight was, I can't remember, Vulcan and I can't remember her name, but him and her, that girl against this one who has the puppet stuff and like the robot puppets. I think I looked up her name. Apparently it's just Puppeteer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's not super much to say about it, but it was fun. It was interesting. I'm glad that this is the point that it's weird because we weren't interested and we stopped watching it. And then I actually sort of watched some of the episodes after we stopped, and I was thinking, this isn't that interesting. And we just decided, let's watch this episode. Oh, it's good. And the next one is also good.
Yeah. It's funny how that works out. And, I made sure to watch it whenever you said it was pretty good, and it was. And I was like, well, why couldn't this have happened since, like, I don't know, episode one, you know, because if it had been good at the beginning, then I never would have quit it, you know, but I never was able to get into it, you know.
Fire Force, so there's a lot I haven't seen of it, but from what I have seen of it, it keeps going in ebbs. Like, the beginning wasn't that interesting, and then after you stopped watching, I kept watching a little longer, and I was like, hey, this is getting more interesting, I'm liking it, and then it got boring again. And then we briefly watched a little more of that first season. We were thinking, hey, this is pretty interesting again. But I don't know how it was after that. But then we came to season two and we're like, hey, this is more interesting. And then, oh, no, wait, now it's not interesting. Oh, it's interesting again. It can't stay consistent.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see, we had Fire Force, then we had Black Clover, episode 140, which was basically three episodes in one.
Yeah.
There were like three plots here. So the first was some stuff with Sally. Remember her, the girl with the glasses who's kind of crazy and kind of became a good guy? So shows up again, because she wants to do experiments on Asta, because Asta said, "Oh, you can do that if you help us out." And then there's a lot of wackiness and stuff, but it ends with her just taking off part of his hair and leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then we have some stuff with the Wizard King and some stuff with them. I can't really remember that. That was kind of something, the more minor plot. And then
Hold on. What, it was something about the name or something. Like, the name that they gave away was like a... now I can't remember. It was like similar to the name of someone who would help them. Remember that?
The Wizard King, he was just kind of around, and I can't even remember that much of him. I mostly just remember the stuff with Sally, and then that other part where Fuego Leon and Nozell end up going to try to fight some bandits, but it turns out, oh, it was villagers who were forced into it, because people who had to do it, because the kingdom wasn't helping them. So they're like, well, okay, so we'll try to fix those problems, but as your punishment, you'll have to help everyone else. And that was basically that.
Mm-hmm. It was weird for an episode. Was this filler? Just let me know.
This whole arc is basically filler.
I had a feeling. I was like, this, the way it everything about it screamed filler. And I'm like, I want to ask him if it's filler, but I think I already know the answer. And yeah.
It's loosely canon in that these are, like I said, the broad strokes of what had to happen, what happened off screen, are happening here, but they're obviously adding a bunch of extra details so they can get full episodes out of it. So, but that's the thing. So it's not like it's completely meaningless, but nothing we see this arc is something that you couldn't have covered over with a time skip and a quick explanation of what happened, because that's what the manga did.
Yeah.
It was just, okay, time skip. Well, we got stronger. Also, as they become relevant, we'll make mentions of a few things that happened during that time skip.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, it's better than just at filler that is completely inconsequential. At least this is only mostly inconsequential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. You know, the other weird thing I noted is, since they have Sally in handcuffs, because, you know, she's still a prisoner and stuff, and I'm thinking, okay, that's fine, but she can still use all of her magic perfectly. So what's even the point of them? All right, that's it for our Toonami shows.
Well, we got through that quick.
What?
We got through that quick.
Well, there was
no Attack on Titan, that's why. Okay, I was wondering. I was like, boy, it seemed like we missed something. And yeah, we did. We missed the Attack on Titan because it was a repeat this week.
Okay. So then we have episode 22 of Yashahime. So let's see. I can't remember most of the villains in this series. Well, to be fair, I think there's only three that are still alive, but the woman, the female, Zero is her name. I can't remember much of anything about her, but apparently she's trying to unseal the power of Setsuna for, I don't know, I don't think it was explained, but it makes her go all crazy and stuff, but then they manage to get her back to normal. And then here's a weird thing. It cuts to the present time where Toa's teacher, who is implied to be, because he says, the comet is hearing this time also. So was he a time traveler? Was he in the past? I mean, he's got the same hair color as Riku. And we know, like, Riku is like, I don't know if he's like outright immortal, but he's obviously long left. So are we supposed to, I don't know if we're supposed to take anything out of it, but there's obviously something about him. It makes me wonder, is he just going to be Riku in the future or?
Yeah.
But that's keep going.
No, I just said that's interesting. Okay. Yeah.
But the big thing is that what I kind of suggested might be end up happening does seem to be happening, and that the comet, which wasn't my speculation, I saw someone mention it online. But the comet is going to appear in the present, so I guess at some, when they return to the future, they'll have to, well, I mean, return to the present, they'll have to take care of it.
Yeah. I noticed that this week, the anger is swelling in the Inuyasha community because people are upset that, more and more upset that our favorite characters have been forgotten about and written out of the story, and people are starting to get impatient with with this whole thing, and now starting to wonder if they're ever going to come back. And it seems that the Inuyasha group, it kind of mirrors some of the things that we've been saying. I mean, most of them have enjoyed the episodes more than we've had, but it just not having those characters just really hurts it. I mean, it would be one thing if you know, there was a good reason for them to be gone, but it just, like, they just kind of got forced out of it, and I don't know.
Yeah. Although, one thing I did mention, we do see Miroku and Sango's last kid, because I remember before you even mentioned, what happened to the other? And, well, they're hearing this episode, so
yeah,
nothing special there. They just show up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I problem isn't the lack of the previous characters. Well, I mean, that was my problem for a while, but then they kind of gave some explanation, and I was thinking, well, I wish this had been earlier, but okay, I'm a little more okay with it now. My problem, well, I know I keep saying this, but only because it's such the obvious thing. The problem is the pacing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pacing is definitely a problem.
It's just so many of the problems come back to pacing, and to an extent that not that many other series I can think of, I just so much comes down to pace. Well, actually, that does describe a lot. That does describe the problems with this season of ReZero.
Yeah.
But in Yashahime, it's more obviously pacing is the problem. At least with the stuff, at least you can say, okay, ReZero, it's taking too long with stuff. But the stuff it takes too long with is at least stuff that had to happen. It just didn't need to take as long. Whereas with Yashahime, it's taking a long time because it's including stuff they don't need.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Okay, so then we move on to Ghost in the Shell, episode 23. So basically, through a bunch of political stuff I only slightly understand, the thing is that the refugees have taken control of Dejima, or were they always in control of it? I'm not sure. And they want it to be its own country or something like that, and they're trying to get that done because they're threatening, oh, we've got nukes. Well, they technically don't, but people think they do. Mm-hmm. So there's a big standoff there, and our main characters are trying to go in with a plan to try to get Kuze and defuse the situation and such. But then one of the guys who is on the refugee side decides, for no apparent reason really, to just open fire, which then starts up the conflict.
Now, was that old man? I was confused about that old man. That old man wasn't Aramaki in disguise, was it?
No, because Aramaki was, he was over with the Prime Minister in Togusa.
Okay, because that was so confusing, because his voice sounded so similar that I was like, wait a minute, is this just a disguise? And I'm like, I'm trying to figure out all that. And there was something I wanted to say, and now I forget what it was. I can't remember it. Now I remember. It's the fact that they haven't told us what the plan is, so that obviously means that the plan's going to work. Whereas if they had told us what the plan was, then it wouldn't have worked.
Well, I mean, we know the broad outline, which apparently is they want to get in there and they want to get Kuzey and any plutonium he has, if he has it, and then get out. And that would hopefully stop the whole thing. Although I suppose now that hostilities have started there, even before that, I guess you can say that it could potentially actually just result in the military going, well, we don't have to worry about nukes. Let's just go in and get rid of them all. Mm-hmm. So I get, but I don't know, but that was their basic plan. We don't really know the specifics though. Mm-hmm. And we don't know why their message to Kuzey, something about how they were bringing in plutonium, was supposed to accomplish things. So we know a bit, but not everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so one episode left, right?
I thought there were three. Three left.
Three episodes left. Yeah, you're right. I don't know why I thought there was one. There's three episodes to go. I'm glad there's three episodes left because I don't think everything could get solved in just one episode. So, yeah.
One other note mention I had was the background music. So there's this one part, I can't remember exactly when in the episode, but there's this song, this background thing, and I was thinking, wow, this sounds kind of like the Jurassic Park theme. And then there's this other part that's showing when people are kind of gearing up for battle and stuff, and I was thinking, okay, this thing sounds so much like the Imperial March song from Star Wars.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that too. Yeah. Definitely noticed that part.
Like, it felt so much like it. I was thinking that it was really unlikely this wasn't inspired by it, at least.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's that. Then we've got ReZero episode 48. So let's see. So Amelia is still going through the tasks and does the last one, which it actually goes through pretty quick, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it's supposed to see a bad future, and then she's just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, was this like the Ghost of Christmas Past and all that?
I mean, it felt sort of like past, present, and future, although, I mean, yeah, that's the obvious thing you think of, A Christmas Carol, but I wonder what other things have past, present, and future. Because those do seem like those would be common concepts for something like this. But yeah, it was showing a possible future. But since it's only possible and there's no real reason to assume that is the case, and it didn't even seem to really relate to what was going on, it felt kind of pointless. I mean, in A Christmas Carol, it was... You know, it related more directly to what was going on and such.
Right.
Even if it was only possible there. Well, I mean, that was the thing. The Ghost of Christmas Future never explicitly says, oh, it's a possibility. Because, Scrooge asks him if it is definite or not, and he doesn't answer. Or at least that's what it was. Scrooge asked him in The Muppet Christmas Carol. I don't know if he said that in the original book.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so she does that, then she talks with Minerva a bunch, one of the witches, the funny one, the one that I like, the one that heals Subaru and says all that. I don't know, I she's not as funny here, but at least she gives some potential teases for later stuff, and then Amelia's done. Mm-hmm. And then... And really, I am left... Well, I'll get to it. Then she goes out and sees it snowing. So I guess the evil bunnies are going to be attacking soon. So, okay, so we're done with that. Sorry about all constantly clearing my throat. So the other thing is that Ram is still fighting with Puck against Roswell. Apparently, Ram is in love with Roswell. He's centuries older than her, I think, but I won't judge. anyway, she manages to actually take the tome he's obsessed with and burns it in the fire. And then, of course, the big thing that is Subaru and Garfield and the rest who are at the mansion. Garfield is fighting off against Elsa, who we find out is able to constantly heals because she's a vampire. I was thinking, okay, that was kind of, I guess that's, but apparently she's also, oh, the sister of the other girl who's evil, whose name I can't remember offhand. Well, whatever. Garfield fights against her and mentions how he knows he can heal because she's a vampire, but vampires can die. And it's not, and then I'm not sure exactly how he manages to permanently wound her. I think maybe her neck was vulnerable or doesn't heal. It didn't really explain it, but he does something there that, and it doesn't heal. And then he just crushes her with this giant thing that I guess is supposed to kill her. I'm going to guess she's dead because we got a brief flashback just beforehand.
that always signals death.
Anyway, so the others are trying to get out, but Subaru says, well, he wants to head back in, presumably to try to get Beatrice. And let's see. Yeah, that was the episode, basically. So the Amelia stuff was pretty boring and felt especially unnecessary.
Yeah.
It really, I'm looking back, why didn't we just have two tasks? Because I understand why you needed two. You wanted to have something beyond the first so that, you know, wouldn't be cleared when Garfield or Subaru get through it. So you need another one. And the second one at least had some importance because it was showing Amelia's idea of this alternate world and stuff. But we didn't get anything out of the third one.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just an excuse to try to get Amelia to be away for longer or something. But beyond that, the other stuff was a lot better. The fight, Ram's weird love confession aside, I thought the fight between her and Roswell was kind of cool. The stuff with Elsa and Garfield, it felt a little sudden, but still it was fun to watch and I thought it was good. And it looks like we've got some cool stuff there. So that's still going to happen at the mansion. So this episode was kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah, I mean, we did see earlier in season one that kind of thing that Ram and Roswell were lovers. But it's kind of confirmed now. And
Not really lovers, because it was Ram says that she was in love with him, and he was like, "What?" So, because he was thinking that she hated him. So
Don't you remember that scene where they were in bed together?
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, way back in season one.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, so that's what you're referring to. Well, no, I don't remember that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was a mixed bag of an episode. How many more do we have left?
I think we have two.
Okay, two to go?
Yes.
Boy, all these things ending at the same time. Some good things about it, some not so good things about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was the episode, really. That's the problem. You keep having all this really cool stuff, and then it just cuts to this not so interesting stuff. That's the trial stuff with it. The first one for Amelia, that was fine. Maybe went on a little longer than it had to, but we got some important information. But ever since then, the trials she's been going into have been less and less relevant for us to watch. I'll at least be fair and say they did go through this one pretty fast. But then we had that kind of long conversation between her and Minerva, which, again, it just feels like it was kind of making you wait for the other stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, I mean, stuff is happening. We're getting to the climax. I am curious how they're going to deal with the killer rabbits because of the fact that they're presumably going to be coming soon, but Subaru and the gang, they're still a ways away unless Beatrice is able to just warp them over to the village, which actually that might be the case. Maybe she could do that. I don't know exactly how how far she can do that.
Well, if she can warp, why doesn't she just warp herself out of this house?
I think that special room she's in might be protected against a fire anyway, so
yeah.
I don't know. But we'll see.
Yeah.
So I mean, there is the fact that she almost never leaves that room anyway, or the mansion. So she might, because she's still convinced about how she's supposed to wait for someone. So even if it's burning, she might still refuse to actually leave it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm trying to think, what times have we actually seen her actually leave the mansion before? Have we ever seen her do it?
Like, not in a reality that's actually happened, no.
Yeah, there was a time when they were, there was that first time they were going up against Elsa, and I can't remember the other girl's name, where Subaru died anyway, but but that was because Subaru, on Roswell's suggestion, said, oh, I am that person. So she went with that for that reason. But other than that, I can't remember. I don't think we have seen her leave. I'm not. Have we even seen her leave the library?
Yeah, I don't think so. Not in a real reality.
Hmm. Okay, so I guess that could explain that there. No, no. There was a time she left the castle. That was a reality that didn't happen. It's the one where Rem died and Rem gets super angry at Subaru, and Subaru decides, well,
oh, right, yeah.
And then he just jumps off, and then he just realizes, well, this save file isn't doing anything. Let's go back to the last checkpoint, and jumps off a cliff.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That's right. Yeah, that was probably the funniest of all his deaths.
I kind of feel like I just want to see a death that's just a pure joke. Just something random and stupid happens, and then it's like not even it doesn't even matter anymore. It's just something stupid happens and he dies, and then he avoids it, and then the series just moves on.
Wouldn't it be funny if he died now and all this is all just a waste of time?
I mean, I guess you could do that and then just have everything go say, well, and then it happened the same way, except he did this one different thing. But I don't think so. If he does die, we're going to skip back to the middle of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we're not going to go through it all again, I'm sure. Probably. Yeah. You don't know with this season.
Yeah.
All right. So that was ReZero. And now we've got that time I got reincarnated as a slime, episode 33.
And, the best way I can describe this episode is not much happened. really, just not much at all. I almost called him Subaru. Rimuru, he kind of just sets up how everyone's going to attack this other kingdom, Fomuth or whatever it is, and just kind of like sets his pieces. He even uses chess pieces in, you know, showing where everyone's going to go. And that is pretty much it. Like, really, nothing happens. And it's just all set up for, I guess, what's coming next. And he has to split up the crews because, like, I don't know, because he needs to make it so that we can have more battles, like, you know, so we don't have one-on-one battles and stuff, you know. So, yeah, that's what we got.
Yeah, the other thing we did get is when it was going through the girl who became the demon lord because their dragon died and then they resurrected it, but then it didn't have a soul or whatever, so she had to seal it. And I was like saying before, oh, that's obviously Milim. And it's like, oh yeah, this is Sue. It's even more obviously her. She, in like the sort of storybook thing, we even see that she's wearing the same outfit as Milim does. So that's her. Speaking of which, she has like not shown up this season, even though she's featured super prominently in the ending credits.
Yeah.
I think it's also pretty likely that the dragon in question that got sealed is that one that Rimuru met in the first or second episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Other than that, yeah, it was pretty much what you said. It was planning for that stuff. It was Rimuru saying, oh, yeah, by the way, I used to be a human, and in my past life, which I kind of thought that he had said to them before, but I guess not. I'm a little confused, though, because the whole thing was about him being a human. Aren't some of the people who are with him at that table humans? Aren't, like, I thought the adventuring, I can't remember their names, but the guys who were with that, the girl, Mialgan, you know, the one who they kind of killed, but not really, last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were humans, but maybe they're not. I don't know. It just, they're talking about humans as if they're not there, which surprised me a little, I guess. Or maybe they're just some different thing. I don't know. But yeah, other than that, I don't have too much to add to that.
Yeah, it's kind of like how in the Best of Both Worlds episode of Star Trek where they're talking about Picard in the past tense when Picard is still there. And they're like, yeah, Picard was a good man. And they're like trying to move on from him. And of course, Riker comes up with a interesting approach. But that's for another discussion. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's actually, speaking of which, it's funny because there's a Star Trek podcast I was listening to where the people, you know, they're going through a bunch of the episodes from the different series, and they were kind of doing them in order, you know, start like for the different series, like they were simultaneously, like, you know, they would do TNG 1 week and then Voyager the next, and they were mostly starting from the beginning of each of those and going forward. And then in this recent one, they started with the third season of TNG when they were previously in the middle, and so it's like, yeah, we can't the first season is too bad, we kind of have to alternate between it and the later ones. Yeah, okay, all right, so that's our shows. All right, so for our top threes, well, for me, there's, now that I'm thinking about it, there were Yeah, I got it. So for third, I would say ReZero, because despite the weaker stuff, it did have some stuff I really liked. Then I'm thinking about it. The problem is, here's the problem. I should make these lists ahead of time, but I always, but my problem is, I always wait until basically just before we record the podcast to actually finish one of them, so I don't make the list until then. And then once I'm done, I have to go right to the podcast because I always procrastinate. Then for second place, you know what? I'll give it to Fire Force. And then for the first, I'll give Food Wars.
Okay, so mine is a special all-Toonami one for once. So third place will be Black Clover, second place Fire Force, and first place Food Wars. So it's all Toonami this week.
Yep. All right. I wonder, yeah, like you said, a bunch of stuff is ending soon. We've got, I think, two and three episodes left of ReZero and Ghost in the Shell. I think Gridman has only four episodes left. We haven't really been watching it, but it does mean there will get something to replace it.
Yeah.
There's only eight episodes. Well, I guess eight is still a decent amount, but after eight, there's only eight episodes left of Attack on Titan this season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this part of this season, because it is absolutely not possible they reach the... There's like, one or two episodes left to air in Japan, and there is no way that they're going to... It is like not possible for them to reach the end of the series with that. So everyone's assuming, look, they're either going to split the season into two, or they're just going to make a movie to conclude it.
Wait, what? Tell me what do you mean by that? I'm totally confused.
Well, they've been continually advertising, this is the final season of Attack on Titan. This is the final season, and we've got 16 episodes. The problem is, there's a lot more based on, let me just see. Yeah, there's three episodes left of 13 episodes of the season have aired so far, and it is not possible for them to reach the end of the series with just three episodes left. There's too much to cover. So they will have to, you know, just announce, well, here's part two of the season, if they're going to actually, you know, to cover the rest of the story.
Okay, so it's basically at a point where, okay, I get it now. So they're near the end of what's supposed to be the end, but the plot has just way too much that it can't, that there's no conceivable way they could just,
there's too much of the manga left. So either they're going to announce there's a second part of this season, or they're going to, as some people speculated, well, maybe they'll make a movie to just cover the rest of the stuff. Although I don't know how much, because like a movie that would be the equivalent to what, maybe five, six episodes. I don't know if you can cover, because from my understanding of where they are plot wise in the anime, there's still a ton of stuff they need to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's that. Yeah, I think there's only one more chapter of the manga to be released, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been keeping track up with the last few chapters. I kind of think, well, I'll just wait for it to finish, and then I'll just read the last few chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, so we've got that stuff, but then, yeah, we'll see what Gridman's replacement is. Apparently Gridman is getting a sequel.
What?
Yeah, this one is SSSS Gridman, and the sequel is, it was SSSS something. Was it like Danzimon? SSSS Dinazenon.
I thought it was going to be T. I didn't really find that show to be all that interesting, but that usually means that it's going to get a sequel.
I don't know if they're, I don't know if it's going to be with the same characters, or if it'll be, okay, it's different characters, but it's the same continuity, or if it's just going to be a totally different thing that with similar story elements.
Oh, I had a horrifying thought. Maybe they're going to replace Gridman with the next Tokyo Ghoul. Oh, please no. Please no. Anything but that. I hate Tokyo Ghoul with such a passion. That is my least favorite anime of all time.
Really? You like it even less than Michiko and Hachin?
Oh, Michiko and Hachin didn't make me sick to my stomach when watching it. You know, Michiko and Hachin was just like silly, you know, random stuff happening that at least it was boring. I mean, it was boring, but at least, you know, something happened. Whereas Tokyo Ghoul, it was, the only point of the show was to gross people out. That's all it was. And, you know, there's some people who love that horror stuff, and that's why it became popular. But the only real reason, you know, it, like, maybe I could have watched that probably when I was in my college days, whenever I played Grand Theft Auto and all that stuff. And, yeah, I can't stomach that stuff anymore. So, yeah.
Well, my bigger problem was just, I thought it was just kind of boring. And then as it got went on, especially in the second season, it just got confusing because that was a part where it diverged from the manga. I would like to say I did not like the anime, but I wasn't big on the manga, but the manga was more interesting. But the weird thing I've heard is that, so they brought out the new next season of Tokyo Ghoul. Now, but here's the weird thing. Okay, so the first season followed the manga. It was a direct adaptation of it. Now, like I said, I remember reading the manga and I thought, well, this is more interesting. It's done better. And then, so it's like that. Now, season two diverges from it. It decides in midway through it, it's just like saying, okay, we're going to do a totally different thing now. Like, make the final episode about the death of a character who did not die in the manga. Mm-hmm. And so they ended with that. So then when they decided to bring out the next season, Tokyo Ghoul Re, it is a direct adaptation of the sequel manga. Meaning that it's, if you watch the first two seasons of the anime, then watch the new season of the series, let me think about how to put it. It would be as if you watch the original Full Metal Alchemist anime, then, and you know how there's that point at Brotherhood where it goes in a different direction from the original anime? It would be if you just, that if you took that point, jumped forward 10 episodes and then just started watching there without any idea of all the different stuff that happened in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand what you mean.
So someone was saying, what you have to do is you watch the anime up until the divergent point. You pick up the manga at that point, read to the end of the first part of the series, then switch back to the manga for the new season. It's weird that they never like bothered to change it. With Blue Exorcist, when they brought out the second season, they just said, okay, so you know all that anime original stuff we did in the last 8 or so episodes? Well, it never happened. We're continuing from the last sort of canon part. So,
why didn't that ever get on Toonami, you know? Because or was that even before Toonami existed, you know, the current iteration of it? Yeah, the first season was before this iteration of Toonami, so I guess that's why they never brought the second season over.
Yeah, it's a little surprising. Yeah, maybe they just had there's a number of possibilities. Maybe the company that dubbed it wanted too high a price. Maybe the original series wasn't all that popular on Toonami, or who knows? Maybe a combination of the two.
Yeah.
Oh wow, its manga series is still going on. Yeah, it's got 26 volumes. So, but of course it's a monthly series, so not as, so you don't get as much, so less content comes out per year compared to a weekly series. For comparison to that, in case you're wondering, One Piece has 98 volumes. How much now I need to look up how much is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure up to now? It has 129 volumes. It's been running since 1987.
Wow.
Yeah. Even though it switched to a monthly magazine later on, it's still, you know, it's been around for so long that it still has that many volumes. Okay. Yeah, so One Piece would overtake it, and let's see, there's like a 30 volume difference. There would be, oh, let's see, I think there would be a difference of a volume three, maybe around three per year. So that would be, yeah, I think it would be about something like 10 years for if they continue at their current release pace for One Piece to overtake JoJo in terms of volumes, unless JoJo ends after this part, and who knows.
What parts are on part eight?
It's in the middle of part eight, yes. I
Okay.
heard that part eight seems to be heading towards a conclusion, but you know, you never know how long that can mean for a series. Like, Bleach was in its final arc for what, 3 or 4 years? It
Yeah.
was a long time. Oh, wait, here's my favorite one. So there's this really long-running manga series called Golgo 13. It's been running since 1968, and it's got 199 volumes out. So, back in 2015, they announced the series was heading towards its conclusion. That was 6 years ago. I mean, I guess when you go on that long, there is a whole lot to wrap up. It's like something like One Piece. I'm thinking, like, if they told the author, like, okay, you have to finish it in this amount of time. I'm trying to even think, even if you rush it, how long you would need to plausibly try to actually end it reasonably. I mean, I guess if you rushed it, you could maybe do it in a year or so. Maybe less if you like really rush it, but I'm trying to think of how much stuff you would need to wrap up based on where One Piece is. Maybe it might be good if there's some time limit given, because One Piece, especially, so its arcs can go on for too long. Okay, but I guess that's. Now that's me talking a bit too much about stuff you haven't seen yet. So, do you have anything else to add or say?
No, not really.
All right, so that's the end of our babbling for this week. We'll see you next week.
Bye.